family histories can include how our ancestors came to be in the United States, what occupations they had, and how we're connected to relations near and far. But there's also a health component to family history, and when there's a pattern of disease that's passed down genetically, it can have a big impact on many life decisions. Nora Hurdle is a government watchdog reporter for the St. Cloud Times. She wrote a recent piece about deciding whether or not to have children because of her husband's family history of Huntington's disease. You'll find that article on the Central Time Facebook page. Nora, good to have you back.
Thank you.
When did you first start thinking about Huntington's disease and how it could affect your decision with your husband to have kids or not?
Well, I first learned about the disease when I started dating my husband, which was more than 10 years ago. Actually, we started dating 10 years ago, and we dated a little bit before that. And so I guess it was 14 years ago when I learned what it was. And I hadn't thought about it much until about 5 years ago when we decided that we did want to have kids. And I decided to write the story probably about then because I knew that it would help me kind of process what we were going through and the different options that we had. We did start exploring those on our own, but we didn't really delve in until about a year ago as it just became a more serious conversation that, you know, we're in our 30s now, and we wanted to make sure that we knew what we were getting ourselves into.
And this is something that your husband, Ben, had lived through with his mother. She had Huntington's disease. Can you tell us a little bit about how that affected Ben and also his mom, what life was like for them both?
Sure. She had other disabilities as well. She had a fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome and Huntington's disease. And Huntington's is a genetic disease. It's a neurodegenerative disease. So what happens is usually people in their late 30s, 40s, and early 50s, and it occasionally does affect children, but it starts to show up as mood changes and problems with motor control. And with her, it was just kind of layered on top of her other issues. And so she was disabled early on in his childhood. The behavior issues that happen when you have a neurodegenerative disease, or this particular one, for her, they showed up as compulsive shopping, kind of weird hours of the day. And so that was just a unusual reality for him and his sister growing up.
And you faced the decision at a certain point. Does Ben get a genetic test for this? Do we take the veil off and know the answer about whether this could be inherited for our kids, or do we not? How did you go about answering that question?
Ben's mom often asked him and his sister if they planned to get the test. She was the only one of her siblings who did. She got it right when the genetic test came out, when it was reliable. The gene was discovered in 1993, and the test came out around then or shortly after. And basically what it does is it's looking at someone's DNA, identifying if on this particular gene they have the mutation. So everyone has the gene. There's basically just a variation on a normal gene that means that your body's producing too much of a certain kind of protein. Ben has decided that he does want to get the test because he wants to make sure that we don't pass it on. There are some other options, too. We could adopt and not even go down that road. That's what his sister is planning on doing, my sister-in-law. Or you can actually, with technology these days, you can plan for in vitro fertilization, and then in the lab they can look at the DNA of the embryos and choose embryos that don't have that mutation without even telling you if you have the disease or not. So that's an option too, but we have decided not to do that because it's expensive and troublesome. We might return to IVF if he does have it, so that we make sure we don't pass it on. But those are just some of the options that we were exploring.
And there's no cure for Huntington's disease right now, right? It sounds like there are treatments, but there's no cure.
You can basically treat some of the symptoms, the movement issues you can treat. There's some new medications for that. The psychological issues, depression or psychosis, you would treat those just the same as if they arose from another issue or arose on their own. And then the memory issues and the other issues going on with the brain, those are not treatable. It's like there's no cure for Alzheimer's. You can't really reverse memory loss. So once that goes, that goes. But there is some there's some new breakthroughs going on now. There's trials for gene silencing, and that would there's human trials for those with Huntington's patients, and that's basically like, can you quiet the mutated gene so that it's not producing that harmful protein or too much of that protein? And then another kind of hope on the horizon is the CRISPR technology, which is an enzyme that can edit out certain parts of DNA, and it's really early for that. I think there was a trial with CRISPR on some mice that were afflicted with Huntington's, and that worked, but that's mice. And I think that there are starting to be trials with other, with CRISPR, with humans, I believe, but not with Huntington's patients.
We're talking with Nora Hertel right now, a government watchdog reporter for the St. Cloud Times, and she's joining us to share her experience of deciding whether or not to have children because of her husband's family history of Huntington's disease. And Nora, you sat down and you decided to talk with some of Ben's family, extended family, about the decisions they made surrounding Huntington's and also just how it affected their lives. What did they tell you?
Well, I guess, first of all, it was really humbling and amazing to do that. I didn't expect everyone to open up, but everyone in the family, almost everyone in the family that I asked, did talk to me. And this is kind of a hard thing to talk about in the family. It's not something that comes up openly. It's not something that people are comfortable talking about. But I did actually interview family members, which was a strange mixing of my personal life and my professional life. And I learned a lot about my sister-in-law and her partner and what it was like for my sister-in-law growing up. And I spoke with my father-in-law and cousins in the family, some second cousins who I really would never have gotten to know or I hadn't had the chance yet. And learned about what it was like growing up with a parent who had the disease or a grandparent, and some were kind of more removed, and others actually helped feed a family member once they lost some motor control. So there was a whole range of ways that they were impacted by the disease, and a whole range of ways that they decided to respond to it in their family planning.
And Nora, you've talked in your piece and here with us on the radio very openly about what you've gone through as a couple, what it's like to be on the inside of a family that has the Huntington's gene in it. What was it like taking something that's usually something that's talked about behind closed doors or not at all and brought it out into the light and shared your decision-making process with everyone who reads your paper?
I guess for me, it was cathartic. It's very helpful to talk it out and learn and really process it and boil it down into kind of just a crystallized version of what I had learned and what it meant to me to be going through this and learning about the family that I had recently married into. So for me, I thought it was really productive, actually. And so Ben, I was regularly checking in on him. Is it still okay for me to do this? It's really your story too. And he was okay with it the whole way through. I think he knew that it was helpful for me to process it that way, and I think he appreciated that I was interested in learning more about his family. Well, I know that because he told me that he was. And for him, he really doesn't mind being open in that way, but really the only anxiety he had is yet to come, which is the result of the test.
And as you move forward, do you think that you'll keep sharing what happens next with people who are interested? A lot of people are invested in the story now and are feeling this with you.
I think so. I suppose it will depend on how things unfold. You know, if he has it, I'm sure I won't write about it right away because we'll need to be processing that, and I think that will be very difficult. I guess I'm just sure that I would need to process it out through writing once he's comfortable with that and once we kind of settle on a new normal, though I certainly hope that doesn't happen and that he ends up not having it and I'm able to write from that perspective and maybe tell some stories of other people and other families with Huntington's disease or other people in the family. Because after the story came out, I received a lot of emails and phone calls from people who are affected by the gene, and there's so many stories out there of people who are overcoming it, people who are struggling with it. There's just a lot of really powerful families out there that are facing this.
Nora, it's a really beautiful, compelling story you shared with us. Thank you so much for talking today.
Thank you so much, Veronica.
Nora Hurdle is a government watchdog reporter for the St. Cloud Times, and she was with us today to share her experience of deciding whether or not to have children because of her husband's family history of Huntington's disease. And you can find her article over on the Central Time Facebook page.